It's called Scumbag Exposed.
You know, at least it's not about a wannabe investor named Larry, you know.
That's
oh,
right.
Man. Hey, Mike, that Forrest Gump quote was for you, buddy.
What was?
I did Life is Like a Box of Chocolates for you because you called me Forrest in the emails.
we started, what, at 8:30?
Yeah, we're going to start.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, Larry. When you wake up, you let us know, okay, and we'll start.
Well, I've dozed off, so just gently wake me, okay?
Just wipe the drool off your mouth and have someone kick you in the ass. You better
check my Depends to make sure I didn't make a mistake.
You know, I'm glad I'm recording already. This is good.
Oh, no, God help us. Don't say that.
Did you already take your Maalox for the evening, Larry?
No, but I ate my prunes this morning, so I'm okay.
And you got your repositories too, right, Larry? So in the morning,
well,
you
no,
go.
I take Geritol. It gives me iron in my blood. Hell, even the mosquitoes don't bite me.
Oh, God help us!
Too hardcore, aren't you, Larry?
You betcha. Been around the horn for many years.
He's been around the block one too many times and just needs to retire, but he won't give in the towel.
I can't. Okay. I just can't.
Oh my God!
Oh,
hey,
Lord.
Do you know what that show is tomorrow night, Chris?
What do you mean? What it is or what it's about?
Yeah, what is it? Anthony called me this afternoon.
I mean, sometimes I think you're thick-headed. I already told you it's about the scumbag investor Brian Whitaker.
Yeah.
It's about that 98-year-old lady you fleeced her house and threw her out on the road. You remember?
Oh, you mean the one that I collected rent on for a year first?
Pretty much.
And threw her out on Christmas Eve. Yeah, threw her out on Christmas Eve.
Absolutely.
You invited me over to smoke Cubans and watch the old lady walk down the road as you threw her out of her own house and took her present.
Yeah, grandkids and all, baby, on the street.
Well, that was just that one for this month, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was Brian's monthly gift to the world.
Very nice.
What's evil
You'd be
is
surprised at some of my monthly gifts.
Well, I don't know what it's about. It's about just I guess what you're doing and how your operation's growing and how you started somewhere and all of a sudden you have a whole operation going as far as what you're doing.
Oh, okay.
About policing people.
Pretty much.
Yeah. I learned everything I need to know from Larry Hardhead. I mean Harbolt.
Yeah, you're my worst disaster of a student, I'll tell you.
Your biggest failure of a student.
That's right. at least you get an award for being the biggest failure.
So I want to know which one of you guys is in a thong and pumps and shaving your legs right now.
I plead the fifth.
You sick bastards.
That's a visual I just did not need. That was Larry. I'm telling you.
He's got his shorts on and he's shaving his legs, smoking a cigar.
You know what scares me? What's Chris doing sitting alone in his house with the lights out doing right now?
Oh my God.
And asking which one of us is wearing thigh highs and a thong.
God help
Doesn't
us.
That make you wonder? Doesn't that make you wonder?
May my parents never hear
revolution.
This recording.
When do we go on the air?
We've been on the air, actually. So we're let's make the official introduction and get it going. Chris, I'll start it out. Is that all right, buddy?
Yeah, let's go.
All right, everybody. I want to welcome everybody to tonight's edition of Millionaire Smackdown. We're the only forum in the world where ideas are debated at the highest personal level, and there's no room for song and dance here on the Millionaire Smackdown. And we're about the consumer, and for you, the consumer, and why not hear the truth, actually, for change and see who really knows their stuff before making your decision to buy a person's book or course or training. And it's really a movement that's been happening where we're actually providing edutainment, education and some entertainment to teach everybody really how they can make a lot more money in real estate, how they can improve themselves, how they can learn about politics. So we cover all sorts of different topics. And tonight we really got this Rocky versus Apollo theme going on. And who we're talking about this evening is we got really two special icons that are on the phone with us this evening. We have Larry the Real Deal Harbolt to debate Brian the Short Sale King Whitaker. And folks, this is going to be a fun show. Some of you have been listening to Both of them wearing high heels and thongs, and it's already picking up speed, and it's going to get better. But eventually we'll get around to the topic of real estate at some point. At least I hope we will. And let me tell you a little bit about Larry and a little bit about Brian. Larry, the real deal Harbolt, sees things a little bit differently, and he feels that creative financing and the nuts and bolts of fundamentals beats doing short sales every day of the week. And Brian Whitaker, on the other hand, only does short sales, and he has started or has stated point blank that the real deal, Mr. Larry here, the real deal is going down on the only forum that would even attempt to have two experts debate this contentious issue. So our moderators, that's me tonight. My name's Mike Warren. I'm from Colorado, and Chris Kremitos from Florida. Chris, say hi, buddy.
Hey, what's going on? I can't wait for this one.
Oh, this is going to be fun. We're preparing it. You know, you came up with a good name, Chris. I like it a lot. Called the Mill Smactagon, the Millionaire Smactagon. I like that. Kind of like the octagon in the cage, baby. And we'll be providing actually the defibrillator for Larry or Brian, whichever one falls down first, in case any of them go flatline on us. So we'll make this pretty good. So I want to welcome both Larry, our real deal, and Brian, our short sale king of the phone. You guys on the phone with us, right?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Cool. Hey, guys, I got a question. Kind of start this call out a little bit this evening. And I got a question. Which one of you is more famous for wearing pink shirts?
I am.
Okay, tell me about it.
I don't wear pink. I wear raspberry-colored shirts. But I've always felt I'm man enough to wear them. If someone doesn't like it, well, that's their problem.
Well, I guess if you're making enough money, it doesn't matter, right?
That's right. I wear what I like regardless of what people want to say.
Brian, his boyfriend dresses him every morning.
My wife dresses me funny, okay? My wife buys all my clothes, so, that's all I can say.
You know, Mike, you might want to ask Larry the questions first, because in his old age he's getting senile, and he's liable to forget the answers by the time we get through part of this. So you might want to start off with him, just in case he has to take a nap in the middle.
And that is true. That's true, but at least I know some answers. I'm not just bringing it like Brian.
Well, Larry,
okay?
we'll kind of go to your fundamentals. So you believe in more of the fundamentals. Why do you think short sales are not the way to go? Kind of give me your two cents on this, and why Brian shouldn't be out there teaching what he's teaching.
Well, there's multiple reasons. I don't like short sales because, number one, most of the people that are going into the real estate business today, that they buy a $3,000 or $4,000 training, and they become instant experts. And they're going out trying to buy houses, and they don't have everything in place they need. They don't have money. They don't have buyers. They don't have their team in place. And they're going out half-cocked and not have everything they need. And many of them fail. And they're what I call one-trick ponies. If they can't do a short sale, they're out. They just wouldn't know how to put a deal together that doesn't fall into that category. So I like to be able to buy any house I drive past. If I can knock on the door, I can sit down and put a deal together with that seller and create profits. I don't have to try and argue with the bank and get nowhere, take months to get a deal closed. I can create a deal. I can create money out of it. I can keep my properties long term without having to come up with a lot of cash.
So what you're saying is you don't want to have to work to get the deal. You would rather just go deal with some homeowner who doesn't know as much as an experienced investor who will just give you the deal.
Well, no. Believe me, Brian, if you ever tried it, you'd understand when you sit down at a kitchen table, those sellers are not going to let you steal their house in most cases. You see, they're not desperate. I deal with people that are trying to sell their house, they're not desperate having to get rid of their property. So, to me, being able to put together a deal where I win and they win is much more challenging than just arguing with the loss mitigator and hoping to get as much discount as possible and then scrambling, wondering where I'm going to get the money to pay it off.
But yet two-thirds of America right now is in short sale, and they're completely desperate. They have nowhere to turn to. And someone who can't do a short sale isn't going to have an answer for them, because most people don't have equity. They can't do the things that you do. They can't allow you to, or allow you to buy it on owner financing. They can't allow those things because they don't have that option. So how would you structure a deal with someone who is 6 months behind in their payments but's looking for you to help?
Number one, they can. It's just they won't because they usually don't have anybody present themselves. You see, I started back in the late 70s when I was 4 years old. I'm not that old. And back then, we did a ton of seller financing because that was after Jimmy Carter ruined the country with his 18 to 22% interest rates. And seller financing was, where I came from in Michigan, the norm. That's what people did. And so we learned how to do seller financing. Even the first properties I ever bought were REOs that banks owned that had taken them back in foreclosure. They sold them to me on land contracts. They even included the rehab money because they wanted to get them off their books. So, you know, creative financing has been around a long time.
Yeah, and nowadays you've got all these people who are in foreclosure who took 80-20 loans. They've got no option. They've got no equity. They're upside down. That isn't an option in this day and time. Without having that option, what is their next option other than coming to someone like me who can get a short sale done, who is willing to work and argue with the bank on behalf of the homeowner to get them the best deal? I'm still taking care of the people. I'm just not putting them in a position where they're agreeing to something that they may not completely understand because my whole deal goes through a lender who does understand what I'm doing versus you're sitting at the kitchen table explaining it to them. 90% of the time, they may not completely understand what you're doing.
Do you think they completely understand what you're doing?
No, but I'm dealing with the bank. I'm dealing with someone that does, and then when we go to closing, they have representation through the title company to tell them exactly what they're signing.
Right. And
whereas you're sitting there doing...
No. You're putting together a deal. You're putting together a deal and then passing it off to the lender. But are you telling the people at the kitchen table that for any discount you get, the lender
absolutely not
come back after them for that money? Are you telling them that if they get debt relief, that's a taxable event to them, that they have to pay taxes on that?
Absolutely. I have to disclose that.
But you're dealing with desperate people. Let me tell you something, Brian. In the county that I live in Florida, 3 months ago I did some research. There were 19,000 properties for sale in the MLS, Multiple Listing Service. As close as I could calculate from the research I did, about 6,500 of them were in foreclosure. But that left 12,000 that weren't. So that tells me that all of the people doing short sales in the county that I'm in are chasing one-third of the deals. When I can go out, because nobody's my competition, or very few, I've got twice as many properties that I can create a deal out of where I can sit down with the seller and make it work and not have to.
And how many times have you had – how many kitchen tables do you got to sit down at, or how many properties do you got to research before you can actually structure something that works so that everyone wins? That's 6,500 properties. I can take any one of those properties, do a short sale on, and put me, the seller, and everyone else involved in a position where everybody wins. I may be chasing the same deals, but I've got 6,500 to choose from. The other 12,000 you got to choose from, you may only close two.
No. You know what? If you're saying that you're the only solution and you're not, when two people, the seller and the buyer, can come to an agreement on anything that will work, that is legal, moral, and ethical, and not fattening, you can put that deal together. But that's lack of
absolutely
experience. That's lack of experience and lack of knowledge that forces you into a one-trick pony situation.
Absolutely. Everything I do is legal, ethical, and morally correct. However,
if in fact most people...
How many people in this market have the ability to not sell you their house at full price? Most people don't because, again, they're over-leveraged anyway. So how are you going to make that deal work without going to get a full price home?
Two-thirds of the properties were not in distress. Two-thirds of the properties either are current or they're just selling because they want to sell, not because they have to sell. So I've got twice as many properties to search and try to buy as you do, and you're stuck with one option for those people. One option only.
Out of that 12,000, how many of them do you think a deal could be structured realistically?
One of them.
Half?
Every one of them. Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
So what do you do? So how do you help that person who has to have full price offer and you can't, and there's no way you can buy that house at full price?
Price or terms. I can pay full price, but they're going to give me terms I can live with. See, it's a negotiation.
Larry, can you give me an example of what you would do there to make that work?
Absolutely. If I can find a property and they're stuck on the price, I may give them the full price.
But
that means they're going to give me a payment that I can afford to own that house at and re-rent it, you see, because if I'm going to buy that type of house, it's probably going to be one I'm going to try to keep, and I want to be able to rent it. So it's going to have some equity. If it's not, you know, you can't buy every property. I mean, only a fool thinks that they're going to buy every property they sit down and negotiate on. Some deals, even Brian can't make work because sometimes the lenders refuse.
Absolutely, I agree.
I've done enough short sales where I know it takes months and months. You're dealing with individuals who don't care about the people, and many times you're being told no. And so you can't help those people either. And I can't help everyone I sit down and try to buy because many of them have hangups and they have things planted in their mind. And you can't change the mind.
And unfortunately, a lot of times we deal with people that side of the ledger that, like Larry, are very old and feeble, and they don't have the capacity to understand what you're trying to do. So in my situation, it's much easier to tell them, look, I'm just going to help you get out of this financial situation. I make it simple and easy. I negotiate with the lender, and I'm done.
And grab your hind end when the tax situation comes up from debt relief, and if they come after you in a lawsuit for the amount I discounted, be ready for that. You may have to file bankruptcy.
No, you don't have to file bankruptcy. I'll give you the number to a good CPA who can help you and a good tax attorney who can help you.
Sure. How do they
pay
that?
But that payment that you were paying at $2,000 or $2,500 a month, you're no longer paying, and you're now living in a reasonable house that you could afford in the beginning at $1,200. So you can take that extra money that you were supposed to be paying for your mortgage payment and pay the tax attorney or the CPA. They can help you get out of that.
Brian, let me ask you this question. So, what's your experience and what's your opinion about the recent laws that were passed by Bush? He signed into effect for homeowners that are in foreclosure, specifically doing short sales and where there's not enough to pay off the balance even in a foreclosure.
I understand what he's trying to do, but what he's trying to do isn't going to help the majority of the homeowners who are in bad shape. They're doing the whole bailout thing now where they're talking about they're going to devote so many billions of dollars to help buy all these REOs from the bank. That's not going to help the homeowner. Yes, he did a lot for the homeowner when he said that he would forgive the 1099 deficient or the 1099 with that legislation back in December of 2007. It's great. But for the person who a couple years ago, for whatever reason, got suckered into buying a investment property, and that's not going to help them. So now the John Q. Public, the American homeowner, is still going to have to find a way to pay for a CPA or a tax attorney to help them get out of this situation. Now,
homesteaded property. That doesn't apply to their investment properties. That 1099
correct.
Release.
So now they still have to go get professional help. But in the same sense, I go in, I negotiate with the bank. When I talk to the bank, I tell the bank that I will walk away from the deal if, in fact, they don't forgive the deficiency. So at least they're not going to be stuck with a deficiency. Now we only have to deal with the 1099 if, in fact, it was the person's investment property. But I'm finding more and more people are defaulting on their primary residence because they got caught up in the hype of the market 2 and 3 years ago and decided to go buy something that either they couldn't afford or they were told that their adjustable rate mortgage would only adjust by a couple $100s, and in fact it has adjusted by $800 and $1,200. So these people are going to be able to walk away. There are ways to help them with their credit when we're done, so they get to walk away, no worries, no money owed, completely walk away. In Larry's case, they've still got to carry that note. They've still got to depend on you to make that payment to them. If you don't make that payment to them, then what are they going to do? They're in the same position that you would end up in.
But they're not in foreclosure.
If you don't make the payment.
Well, of course. But what if you don't get the short sale done?
If I don't get the short sale done, then there's other alternatives to them. And I can send it out to other people to help them with deed in lieu. There are other alternatives.
Sure.
But if you don't make that payment, and most of the time they have a mortgage where they can't let you make the payment.
Sure they can.
If they if they're paying $1,800 a month and you can rent it for $12, there's no way you can take that property and begin making payments based on $1,200 a month rent.
Absolutely. And I just told you, you can't buy every property you come in contact with. If they don't work, you see, Brian, the whole fact of the matter is real estate investing. Take it from somebody that's been around for years. Real estate investing is a basic mathematical equation. You run the numbers on the property. You make your offer based on those numbers, because if you don't, you're going to take a financial seminar none of us want to take. So it's not about making lump sums of cash. You see, for instance, I can buy a property. Let's do an example. I can buy a property from a seller for $150,000. That's what they're asking. I can give them seller financing terms. I can give them 6% 30-year financing. I can turn around and sell that property for the same $150,000 that I paid for the property, and I can make $250 a month simply by selling it at 8% 30 years. 2% on $150,000 is $3,000 a year. You divide that by 12, that's $250 a month. That's more money than many properties will cash flow. But you see, I can buy, I can turn around and sell. I have options.
But what do you do as a new investor when you don't have money and you're just getting into the game? You've learned how to, yes, I agree, you've taken a seminar, and a lot of people think they're instant gurus, and they're not. However, they managed to get it done, and they need to sell that property wholesale and flip it just to keep cash coming into their business to maintain. Under your scenario, they couldn't do that. They couldn't afford to live on $250.
When I started with no money and no credit, simply because I had no money, I had no credit. I had six kids to feed. I was an unemployed construction worker. I was unemployed most of the time. I had no money. I had no credit. I had no hopes of getting credit. So I had to do my transactions with no money, no credit. People tell me it can't be done. They're wrong. I did it for years, and I still do it. You don't need money and credit. How do you get it? You know what? You have to go out and you have to earn. Now, I'm talking about investors.
Let me ask you this.
Yes.
I'm a new investor. I'm just starting out. How long is it going to take me to learn how to do that kitchen table closing and be able to make that deal work? How long is it going to take me to learn, and where am I going to learn that?
Number one, you do what I did. You find a mentor. You find somebody that you can joint venture the deals with. You don't need money. Let them teach you. See, it's not about instant gratification. If there's a learning curve, just like with anything else. It doesn't happen overnight. You're not an overnight success. In most cases, when you know nothing, it's going to be very difficult to bring in a $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 check unless you know what you're doing.
At least in short sales, if you know how to argue with a bank, you can sign up a homeowner, start arguing with a bank, and possibly get a fair enough deal when you're done negotiating with the bank, that you can then go to someone like yourself and say, hey, would you buy this property for me? Since I bought that same $150,000 house, I bought it for $75,000. Will you pay me $80,000?
Sure, but see, I'm not going to give you $80,000 cash. That would be ridiculous. What's the property worth?
I can also...
What's the example? What's the example property worth?
$150,000.
And you'll take $80,000. Mm-hmm. Let's do just a little common sense here. If I had $80,000 in cash, or the availability to get $80,000 in loans. Why in the world would I take $80,000 and buy one $150,000 house when I could take that same $80,000 of credit or cash, divide it up into $5,000 or $10,000 increments, and buy eight to ten?
But most people starting out don't know that.
But that's what
most people starting in the business.
Yeah, but see, you.
Yeah, and it's going to take them years to learn it.
No, 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 Brian. Where are these people just starting out that have no money and no credit that want to be investors doing short sales? Where do they come up with the $80,000 cash to do the short sale? What if they can't get?
They didn't, but they don't have to close. That's what I'm saying. They're going to turn around and take that deal to someone else who has the money, or even better, how about I go sell it to some single mother who's looking for something that she can own for less than $100,000, and she just qualified FHA with 3% down. Now I've helped two families, not just one.
Sure, but here's the problem. Somebody's got to come up with cash to buy that house. Because are you
going to pay? She went and got FHA financing.
Well, she had to go get
and I had no money. I had no money, no credit. All I had was the ability to argue and debate. So I got on the phone with the bank. I debated with them until they finally agreed to let the old homeowner out of the deal and let me buy it for $75,000. I go and get an end-use buyer for $100,000. I make my quick $20,000, $15,000 after all my expenses. Now I can maintain my business, and it didn't take me 5 years to learn everything that you're talking about.
You don't need to.
So I get it done quick.
Now, in a week's time, I can.
No, I didn't say a week.
Fine.
It's going to take them a couple months to
finish
the deal.
Let Larry finish, because I think I know his point. He's talking about his training. In a week's time, Larry, go ahead.
No, in a week's time, I can take someone with the minimal experience level like Brian, and I can teach them how to make money buying real estate, and they don't have to come up with cash. It's a different way than what he just said, but it's just another way. See, in a week's time, I can teach him how to do it. Well,
Larry,
most people I could. I'm not sure we could, Brian. He's a little thick.
But, Larry, you're talking about you because you've done real estate for so long, you still remember when the Native Americans traded Manhattan for a couple of shells of wampum and a fur coat, right?
No, that's wrong. It was when we built the pyramids.
The pyramids, and you guys were trading.
The ancient Babylonian.
Yeah, and his techniques worked back in the late 20s and early 30s. Unfortunately, he hasn't come into the 21st century. I don't think he knows how. And we can tell that just by the way he dresses, that he really doesn't get it.
Hey,
the old way of doing things is long gone.
Hey,
we need to move on to bigger pastures.
All right, and here's another point. And you argue this one. In 2 or 3 years, 90% of the short sales from the adjustable rate mortgages that have adjusted in 5 years are going to disappear. Then what are your one-trick ponies going to do? You have no other knowledge, no other base. You have no other techniques that you've learned because you concentrated on one. Now, when they disappear in 2 or 3 or 4 years where there's not a glut of them, what are your people going to do?
We're going to spend the next 2 or 3 years doing short sales, but in the meantime, we're going to go around and start finding you old folks before you retire and start picking your brains. So by the time we actually make our money and the short sales and the foreclosure disappear, we'll have actually picked what little bit of brains you guys have left. So that way we can go and carry on what you guys were doing that doesn't work.
Yeah, Brian, you bet. And see, the thing is, there's no way you're going to learn in 2 or 3 years. I mean, you are mentally challenged to the point where this is something you're not going to learn in 3 years.
Well, you know, they say you're the real deal, but, you know, you couldn't even take on someone like me.
You
couldn't even teach me.
You got to have an IQ in double digits, okay? And I think you're a little bit challenged there.
I want to break in here, and this is, Mike, this is a comment and a question for all of us, really, because we all somewhat have a hand to play in the real estate business. Aren't you guys, I could only speak for myself, and I really do mean this. I'm sick of going to meetings, and you ask someone, what do? And they say they do short sales, when I know they don't do short sales, or they teach short sales. It seems like in the real estate industry now, everybody and their mother is doing a short sale, but yet no one's closing them. Brian might be one of the exceptions, but most people out there don't do them. Larry, what do you think about that?
I think they're all starving to death. Not all of them. And if they get one put through, that's great. And many of them work with companies that do loss mitigation. But my point is, for me, it's better to go out and find deals that are not distressed, where I can put together a deal with a seller where we can both come out of it unscathed, they're not under pressure, and we can make a deal that'll work for both of us. And, you know, see, for me, there's a difference. Here's a difference in theory. Brian is younger than I am. I'm getting a little bit older. I mean, I'm...
And better looking.
Thank you. I know I am. You see, the goals of the individual are different. Brian is still younger, still wants to make the lump sums of cash. He wants to pay all the taxes. For me, I would rather create an income stream instead of lump sums of cash. And that income stream that I'm trying to create will pay my lifestyle until I pass. But then my kids and my grandkids might be able to, you know, enjoy the benefits of that too. So it's good for more than just one. It can be passed on for generations because we do it over time, not by lump sums where we get smacked bad with taxes.
Is it possible that I can take my next lump sum check and devote it to your retirement just so you'll go away and get out of the business?
I've never seen a check I didn't like.
Don't forget
you know,
the rest of
back it. In back in the 80s, everyone claimed in the 80s that they were doing seller financing, and everyone claimed they knew what they were doing, and two-thirds of them had no clue. And then we hit the 90s, and everyone was doing lease options and lease purchases. Everyone claimed this whole thing where everybody knows what they're doing in short sale, it's just like every one of the other ones. It's just like Larry. He claims he knows all these things. Do we know he knows them? Do we know that he's actually done these deals and putting them together?
Yes.
He's not doing them anymore because he can't get it done.
Well, I
he's just
my
looking for his retirement.
Yeah, hold on, time out, Larry. I got to step in there for you. In all seriousness, Larry helped me negotiate a deal a couple months ago at the kitchen table with an old timer, and I guess they hit it off because he was about 80 years old as well.
Yes.
But in all seriousness, Larry's theory does work in modern day America. I've seen it. I've seen it up close.
Well, when you get two people that came over on the boat with Christopher Columbus together, and you put them in the same room, of course they're going to connect.
We grunted together. We understood each other's grunts. But you know what? We tied up a $250,000 nice home in Tampa. We tied that up for $1,000 a month for 5 years.
Yeah.
With
that's because you
never liked. No, because that's
and the old man had no idea what you guys were doing. You went in there, took advantage of some 80-year-old man who's just as senile as Larry is. Only Larry had his note cards with him so he could remember what he was saying. And then you guys took advantage of the guy. At least I'm not taking the guy's house.
I ask a question, and I created a situation where everybody wins. I had a buyer. This was for a student who wanted. She only wanted to spend $1,000 a month. She wanted that house. This wasn't his residence, and all he wanted was somebody to be paying because he really didn't need the money. So we negotiated the deal. Now, if you would have taken 30-year 7% financing through an institution, she would have been paying $1,700 and change on that note. But we negotiated $1,000 a month, and this guy was happy with it because he was giving his money for his property. He was set on price. We gave him his price, but we got terms. So,
well, the guy thinks he still lives in the 50s, and $1,000 is all the money in the world.
Hey, let me tell you, that's a retired Air Force man, and he was not senile by any stretch.
He thought he was getting the better end of the deal.
Yeah, he did. He thought he was getting the best end of the deal.
You saw that in his eyes, right, Larry? He thought he was walking away with a great deal.
Yes, but didn't I ask him questions?
Oh, of course you did.
And then
what
I took.
What kind of questions did you ask him, Larry?
He was stuck on price. And so I asked him what the underlying financing was. I talked to him about what his plans were, what his goals were, why he was selling the house. And then I took that along with what the student wanted and could do. And we just figured out, we went through it and put it together so it would work. It wasn't a complicated deal. Chris thought it was, you know, it was really great, but, you know, it's a simple, simple deal.
Oh, so you were trying to pick the guy up.
Yeah.
So you were hitting on the guy, asking him what his long-term plans were.
Well,
that's nice.
Hey, guys, in all seriousness, because I want to keep this on a serious note, when I was there, Larry did hit it off with the guy. They did bond about what kind of denture cream that they both use.
and depends. We both wore depends.
No, but in all seriousness, the guy liked Larry, but he did run us through the ringer. And I liked the way Larry held his own and held his ground, because the guy tried to switch it up, say, no, we agreed on cash. And Larry kind of shook him, you know, put him back to reality that it was an owner finance deal. And we matched.
Well, everybody likes Larry. I like Larry. Larry and I get along great. You have to feel sorry for people who just don't have the mental capacity to function anymore. Not only do you have to feel sorry for them, you kind of like them because they're very lovable people.
Yeah, anyone Brian likes, you really have to question, don't you?
Hey, Larry, let's go back in time here. When you were mentioning something in the very beginning, you mentioned that you got started in the 70s and working on techniques and the seller financing and stuff that worked back then. Are you teaching literally the same idea, or have you changed it to match the times that are happening today? And if so, what did you do different than you did back in the 70s?
Seller financing techniques have been the same for 200 years, the basic fundamentals. There's going to be changes as time goes on. But, you know, I mean, the first piece of property ever transferred was done with seller financing, because back in eons, they didn't have banks, so the seller carried the financing. What I did back then, let me tell you the first deal I did. I bought a 40-acre farm from my father. He charged me $40,000 for the property. I had a four-year land contract with an annual $10,000 payment. In other words, it would have once a year, January 1st, I had to pay $10,000 to my father. Now, what my father did was he gifted me $10,000 every year. And then I paid him back legally.
So your way of thinking, you even take advantage of your father. You get him to give you the property for free.
No. I had a taxable event. I mean, it was listed on my tax return. I bought that property fair and square. But you see,
but you're still
having knowledge. And it's not running with the latest, the hot button for everybody today, where nobody really understands it. We structured a deal that worked with what we had.
Okay, so
hey, Larry, do you know that we now cook with microwaves?
Yeah, I heard that.
You might want to come forward a little bit. That whole back in the 1400s things doesn't work as well these days.
Well, hold on, Larry, in the
21st.
I would do that deal every day of the week with someone.
But most states don't even honor land contracts anymore.
Oh, that's not true. It's either land contract for deed. It depends on the state you're in. But, of course, you can do seller financing. That's an idiot myth that you can't do seller financing.
I'm not saying you can. Most people today can't do it because they can't afford it. They can't afford to keep making those payments.
They're not making the payments. I'm making the payments. When I buy the property, I make the payments. They may have to send on a portion of it. And if they don't want to send it on, if we worry about that, we use a third party that collects the payment and sends it on. And then they deposit the balance between in the seller's account. So we don't have to worry. But you see, we do things on purpose. Everything we do has a reason. And Michael, you were asking some questions.
Well, yeah, Larry, mm-hmm. let me throw this out at you. Based on what you were just saying there, where you're doing seller financing with a homeowner who's in a distressed situation. They can't afford the house anymore. They can't rent it to cover the note. So you're mm-hmm. going to come in, essentially take over the house. You're going to rent it at what the market will bear.
I'm not going to buy that house.
Okay, so you would let them go. So that should be a deal that should go to Brian then.
Right.
To go to Brian.
remember I said it's a basic mathematical equation? Only those that don't do the mathematical equation end up being broke or going bankrupt as investors, or they get out of the business because they can't make any money. It's numbers. And if the numbers don't work, I don't do the deal. I can't do every deal I come across. You know, I mean, there are deals out there where they're so upside down that maybe Brian can make it work. But I want deals because I have more of them with sellers that have equity.
A perfect example, Mike, is based on that scenario you just said, he can't make that work. But yet I go in, I work the short sale, and I may make $20,000, $30,000 cash when I cash out at closing. So realistically, understanding what he's saying, I can still make that deal work where he can't.
Okay, now let me ask you a question, Brian. What do you do when you come across the person that has equity but is not in distress? That they have equity in the property, but they still want to sell. How are you going to handle that deal?
I'm going to call some feeble-minded old man and see if he'll do the deal.
Right. That's right.
See if he'll take $250 a month because I'm too busy over here making, you know, $20,000 or $30,000 on a regular short sale.
Yeah,
because
if I get enough of those $250 checks coming in every month, I have my lifestyle paid for. I am, in essence, financially free. I'm not worried about trying to make lump sums of cash where I'm waiting for the next check to pay my mortgage or make my car payments.
The smart investor does the short sales. He puts a percentage of the profits away to save for the times when the short sales aren't as good. And realistically, living in a nursing home these days really isn't that expensive. I mean, I can't understand how your lifestyle could be that expensive.
Yeah. And let me tell you something. Most of the guys that are eventually getting a short sale put through, they need the money to make up their back house payments, their back car payments, because it's been months since they've closed on something. I talk to people all the time that are starving to death that are doing short sales. Here's another issue. The people today doing short sales, because none of us know what the actual value of property is, because it's so upside down, values are dropping in some areas, some places they've maintained. But what I'm seeing is people that are doing short sales and the discounted amount isn't that much below the actual value of what it's worth today. So I don't see where you're getting these great deals. And you're just trying to con somebody into paying a little bit more, so they're buying it at actual value. See, so talk about taking advantage of people. Looks to me like that's exactly what you're doing. You're buying at 10% below market value, jacking it up 10%, selling to them at market value. They think they're getting a great deal when, in essence, they're not.
And then I sell it to you for $250 a month, and I cash flow it.
Oh, I won't buy it for $250 a month, necessarily. The numbers have to work. See, Brian, I'm not stuck. I'm not a one-trick pony. I'm not, you know, I have the mental capacity to think through the deal. I learned that from Pete Fortunato. He taught me to think through my deals and do everything on purpose. And that's exactly what I do. I sit down, I think through the deal, because my buying strategy can only be structured when I know what my selling strategy is going to be. You have to buy with the selling strategy in mind, because it's not an all cash deal today, because the subprime market's dried up. So, you know, and not everybody can come through with your short sale lump sums of cash. Not everybody can. They may think they can, but how many are you closing a month now, Brian? What's your success rate? Your success ratio is 15. That's a good average.
No, my success ratio is better than 80%. I'm closing approximately 15 a month right now.
15 a month. Where do you get your cash? Where do you get your cash?
Hard money.
Hard money. What if they don't sell?
As an intelligent investor, I actually make sure I have, number one, a deal that will, and number two, I have it at such a deep discount on my end that I can get out if need to, and I have a 6 month to 1 year balloon. If that does not work, that property still would cash flow even if I sold it owner financing. So I can still...
You're teaching people how to do short sales, and everybody, let's put it this way, everybody doing short sales has the cash. They're having great success. They're getting them done quickly, and they're making tons of cash. Because I'd like to meet these people. Everybody I talk to, they're starving to death.
Absolutely not. Not everyone can do what I do, just like not everyone can do what you do. There are some people that can, some people that can't, and some people who don't take the time to get the knowledge or take the time to get the education to be able to do what you and or I do. And when you don't get the knowledge or you don't get the experience, then yes, and you start jumping in thinking you can do it, you'll fail. There's no question. That's why most people don't make it.
That's my problem with the short sales. You can go out there and take any number of short sale classes, and I know of several, where you come out of there, and I have people tell me they're an expert. I mean, they're a short sale. They have everything in place. And you know what? They're in for a big surprise because they don't have everything in place. And with the way I do it, where you don't need cash, you see, I don't need a down payment. I may be able to trade a pickup truck for a down payment if that's what the seller needs. You see, we can create deals where we both win. We don't have to come up with lump sums of cash. And maybe someone starting out who can grasp that concept might be able to make more money than they might if they had to come up with a lump sum of cash continually.
Hey, Larry, I have a question for you. How long do you think that, I don't know, like you said, it's probably a fad or a flavor of the month. How long do you think short sales will be hot, especially in the seminar circuit? Because that seems to be the only subject people will dole out big money to learn nowadays is short sales. How long do you think this flavor will come to pass in your experience?
Let me ask Mike a question. Mike, when were the last adjustable rate mortgages written? Was that 2005?
2006. There were some in 2004. It just depends on what kind of an arm they got, if it was 5 or 7 years.
But most of those, all right, so let's say 2004, mm-hmm. 2005, if they're five-year arms, doesn't that tell me that about 2010, the bulk of these are going to be over?
Yes and no. For what you're talking about, for the ones where they're in financial distress, I would agree with you. The bulk of those will be over, except they're still out there pushing that product, and people are still buying.
Right. But my point is, how long is this phenomenon going to last? And I'm just being logical and saying, if the last adjustable rates were made in 2005, they're probably going to diminish in this massive number around 2010. Was my assumption.
But in the same sense, when they start to diminish in 2010, I can still do short sales directly with the lender for all the REO properties that are sitting in their portfolios and still get an even better discount, a better deal, and cash flow. Instead of $250 a month, I'm cash flowing $500 to $600 a month because I am able to negotiate that short sale directly with the lender on that REO property.
And you still have to come up with cash, which many people can't. Number one, why would I put $80,000 at risk to buy $150,000 property when I can take that same money and buy 10 $150,000 properties and control them with the same amount of cash? To me, that's ridiculous.
Absolutely.
See,
but in the same
I see
sense,
things differently.
If I have that deep of a discount, I can always get a lender to lend me the money. Now I'm not putting any money in my own pocket. I'm paying a small monthly payment, and I've got a renter in there who's paying me double what I'm paying the lender. So I've got no money in this deal. My return on investment is infinite because, again, I've got nothing in the deal.
Well,
and I'm getting it such a deep discount that every lender will lend the money.
Okay, but let me ask you a question, Brian.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't you just say that you're going to get an investor to put up the money? Didn't you just create a creative deal?
Absolutely. I can wholesale the deal.
Was that
if I get the short sale done, if I get it done, I can go to someone else who's more savvy, more experienced, and has the education and has the ability to fund this deal. I can flip the deal directly to them and make a $5,000 or $10,000 check at closing and do it quickly.
You think that this foreclosure phenomenon is never going to end, right?
No, I agree. It is going to end. However, I don't think it's going to end for at least 5 years. Because once we get through the homeowner distress, you've still got these lenders who are taking back all these properties. Right now, we have better than a year's supply based from the National Association of Realtors. They're claiming there is almost a year's supply of inventory on the market with more and more coming every day. So if the foreclosure boom ends in 3 years, we still got 2 to 3 years to sell off what the excess inventory.
Michael,
and I can negotiate those.
Michael, do you remember back in the 80s and 90s? Were you in the business at that time?
I started around 85.
All right. Then you were at a period when the sellers had, or the lenders had REOs.
Right, yeah, the RTC, the whole savings loan.
Right, and in, you know, during those days, any smart investor, you know, the fools were going out borrowing money. But the smart investors were going to the REO department and asking if that's if the bank would finance them in the property.
Right, and I did
long
that
term.
Too.
And I, when I was in the 80s, I was buying the REOs from all the lenders in my area in Michigan. They would not only sell them to me on terms, they would throw in the rehab money just to get them off the books and have a performing asset on their hands. So, you see, you ask. It's not, there's only one way to do it. And if you think these lenders that have this massive inventory won't give someone that asks, that has, you know, a decent background or the ability to pay, they won't give them terms on that or give them, you know, a financing on it, you're wrong. They will.
Well, actually, Larry,
so in essence, you're going and doing a short sale to the lender and getting them to agree to throw in the rehab money.
No. I pay their price. They know what they've got in the property. And
okay.
They will sell it to me at that price. They've already foreclosed on it. I'm shorting no one. Michael, what did you say?
I was going to say that I actually agree with you that the banks will do this. For instance, I'm working on a commercial property right now in Ohio where we're buying it. The bank has already foreclosed on it. The bank is going to sell us the property at a reduced rate for the property value, and the bank is going to finance the entire deal, no money out of pocket.
Absolutely. They'll do that every day when they have inventory in stock because
right.
they need those to become performing assets.
Right.
And what he just said was key. They are willing to sell it at a discount. So basically, he negotiated a short with the bank.
No, I never paid
again.
I paid what
Mike
they were.
Is.
Mike may be.
Right.
That's one example. I did many where I didn't. I just paid what they asked. But the numbers were right because when they refinanced or when they got it back, they didn't have a ton of money in it. But they set the price.
And most people don't know how to figure out if the deal works. They are too new. They're too green. They don't have the experience.
Right.
What can you get into right now where you can make money?
Formula.
Well, what would
I can get people started right now with no money.
Hey, guys, let me ask you this. What's a good way then, since we both agree that the investors are they're having a problem somewhere, what is the best way to go? Should they be going to Larry's training or should they be going to Brian's training? Whose training is best? And
they should be going to Larry.
Should they go to any training at all?
Like Larry
Larry's because they have diversification. They're not one-trick ponies, and they're not sitting there in a dying market, a dying business that is going to diminish over time. The seller financing, we're going to have a 10-year run on it at least. It's going to be the way we're going to finance our properties in most cases. Remember, folks, right now in Florida, we're sitting on an 8 to 9 month period of time that they're sitting on the MLS before they sell. Therefore, the holding costs alone, and we calculate 1.5% of the value of the property per month as holding costs. Now, what are holding costs? The mortgage payment, the taxes, 1/12 of the taxes, 1/12 of the insurance, water, electric, sewer, garbage, lawn care, all of that, the actual costs of ownership. Now, if we have a $200,000 house sitting on the market for 9 months before it sells, and it's worth $200,000 at 1.5%, that's $3,000 a month to own that property. 3 times 9 months is $27,000 is going to evaporate while that property is being sold. At least with seller financing, I can come in and I can stop the bleeding of the seller They may have to wait a short period of time to get their money, but I can stop their bleeding. Now, if Brian can't get the short sale closed, these people, you know, they're just getting further and further into financial distress.
Hey, guys, I just want to tell you that we opened up the wild card line, and usually we'll have a man on the street. If anyone out there wants to comment, the lines are open. A lot of times we'll have Tony Whatley call in. So if anyone has a comment, feel free to make the comment, and let's see what you're thinking, especially the man on the street.
Sure.
Tony,
okay,
Whatley,
back to Mike.
Tony's
back
on the line.
Mike's
Tony,
question.
Do you want to comment on what you're hearing as the man on the street?
I would love to. I'm trying to put, I mean, I think both of these guys have adequate points. I'm trying to put myself in the area of the person that is the seller himself. Who's getting the best deal as the seller? I mean, I hear both of them arguing about how much money they're making. What about the seller? What about the person who owned the house? Which
well,
one
you know what, Tony,
doing him the best favor?
Now, wait a minute.
Here's the deal, Tony. When you do a short sale, you get to walk away in a short period of time. Under Larry's situation, you've got to wait for your money, and that could be a 5-year, 10-year, 20, or even 30-year seller financing. At least under the short sale guidelines, even if it takes me 6 months, at the end of 6 months, you're done. You get to go restart your life. You get to turn the page and close this chapter of the book. You're done. No more financial stress. You're out of the house. You've moved on with your life. You're not depending on someone to make a mortgage payment to you. You're not worrying about when you go to try to buy a new house that you've got to figure out a way to buy a new house when you still have that old mortgage sitting on your credit report.
Under the short sale, Brian, the problem I'm mm-hmm. having as the person owning that house is, yes, in 6 months you will have given me my price, but you've already told me it's a bargain basement price. So it's a situation of where you've said, when I came in here 6 years ago, I paid $50,000 for this house. Now I have accrued enough levity in the house to where it's worth $75,000, but you're going to buy it from me at $40,000. So literally, yes, if I'm wanting to get rid of it, you are doing me a favor. But at the same time, you just took money out of my pocket.
But see, in that situation, I'm not going to work that deal because you do have the equity. That deal has to be structured differently. I'm going to help the guy that moved into his house 2 years ago and paid $150,000, and with the market now, his house is only worth $90,000. That's
wow.
The guy that I'm going to help out, and I'm going to buy his house at a bargain basement
okay,
price.
Okay, well, Brian, let Larry answer Tony's question. So let's see what Tony, as the consumer, how he feels. So, Larry, how would you help differently? So you're not sure. So how would you help Tony if he was in a distressed situation?
Okay, Tony?
Yes.
The general misconception of today's society is that if we throw enough cash at someone, it solves all their problems. That is not true. If you're drowning and you're having great financial distress, just because I give you money, you want me, you know, just like I was taught. In other words, you're in the quicksand.
Mm-hmm.
You're going down.
Mm-hmm.
You want me to either replace you in the quicksand or you at least want me to join you in the quicksand.
No, I
Follow
want you to solidify the quicksand. That's what I want so I can stop sinking.
But see, I can't do that unless you work with me. Because here's the point. Just because I give you cash, number one, it's not a good deal. I have to do what works best for my family, as you're trying to do for yours. But if you're upside down and I didn't get you into that position, why is it that I have to give you everything you're asking for when the numbers don't work? Now, I'm not saying that I'm here to take advantage of you. Point being, I'm trying to put together a good deal that both of us, now, at least that 6 months it takes Brian to get the short sale done, if you're not making the payments, is that improving your credit?
I wouldn't think so.
No. Is that increasing your bank account? Maybe if you're not making the payments, but is it improving your life? But what if I come in and stopped your bleeding by I started to make the payment today? See, here's what I'm thinking about today. Many of the people can't sell their properties today because they want all cash. And people
right.
don't know what to pay for the properties. Cash is not the answer. What if, just let me ask you a question, what if you're drowning in a property? What if I come in and said, look, accept payments from me for 24 months. Now, are you making any profit? No, but you're not going in debt any deeper. You're not getting your credit. At least someone is making the payment. Follow me?
Right.
So your credit is improving. So if I pay you for 2 years, then I can go to a lender. Number one, time should be better. Number two, I can do a refinance because I have equity in the property. I have an interest. I have skin in the game where I couldn't have gotten acquisition money. You follow what I'm saying?
Okay, so basically, you're the lifeline.
Yeah, but
at the end of the day,
you.
You're going to take my house.
No, I'm buying
your
house.
You're the lifeline to get me. You're the lifeline to get me out of the quicksand. But then at the end of the day, once the quicksand mm-hmm. solidifies, you're taking the land.
Well, of course, I'm buying it. I didn't say I'm buying it at a big discount.
But if you're in quicksand, he can't help you because you're upside down and you owe more money than what he can even rent it for. So at that point, he walks.
See, it depends. The perfect answer to all real estate questions is it depends. You see, if I take over I make payments to him, he sends it on, at least the damage to his credit is stopped. Where with you, Brian, it's going to continue. The other thing
absolutely,
is, you know,
but if his payment is $1,600 and you can only rent it for $800, he's got to kick in another $800.
Right, and what does he got to pay if somebody doesn't come along and do that?
Well, you know what? At least with doing the short sale, yes, he's taking a credit hit on his mortgage, but he can save the money that he was paying on the mortgage, and he can use that to make sure his other bill stays current, so at least the only thing that's hitting his credit record is the fact that he's 30 and 60 and 90 on his mortgage, and he still has a little bit of savings in his bank account, whereas your solution, he's still got to come up with another $800 on top of whatever he has to pay for his new house.
But see, number one, I wouldn't do that deal. He was talking different numbers.
I'm just talking your average everyday guy that
right.
is trying to raise a family, living on $45,000 a year. You know, living in Florida on $45,000 a year is not the easiest thing in the world unless you have two people making $45,000 a year.
But and the way they can do that is to come to my training, and I can teach them how to do that fairly quickly versus if you go to Larry's training, you're going to be there for 6 months and learn a lot of nothing.
Brian, what's going to happen if you can't do the short sale for him? Oh, I know you can. No, you can do every one of them you do. So you say. You know, and I believe in the tooth fairy and all that, but if you're promising this guy you're going to help him, which you've made that statement to everybody on the call, but what if you can't? You see, my point, what I was just doing with him, I may pay him on his $80,000 house. I may give him $80,000. But he's having trouble making the payment today. But he would allow me to make payments, and then I can refinance it and pay him the $80,000. The difference between what's owed. If I pay off the mortgage, I can pay him his equity then. When I couldn't get a loan today, possibly, to give him any money. So he continues to go down the tubes.
But in all actuality, as of October 1 of this year, you can't do that either because you took that property subject to, and that homeowner still cannot profit in the long run.
He could do a lease payment. He could do a lease or an option.
See, I have options. You don't. You're a one-trick pony, Brian. You only know one way of doing it.
Let's not talk about the one-trick Brian. The Pony Express called and said they wanted their other trick ponies back, Larry. But here's the thing. You know what? They go to your course. They learn a bunch of stuff that is not going to help them today. That is going to help them, and they need that education. But at least what I'm doing is going to help them today. They're going to be able to go out and find people that are in distress.
If I'm covering their payment and they're getting a little cash flow every month, you're telling me that getting a couple $100 cash flow, possibly, is not as good as them having to make the entire mortgage payment and getting nothing or going further in debt. See, that's
most homeowners that I sit with and talk to are so far gone in stress and financial hell that they don't want anything but out. They come to me, I don't care what you do, how you do, get me out. They can't handle you sitting there for 3 hours telling them how you're going to make them $100 a month.
Number one, I wouldn't be there. Number two, I have to do a deal that's good for my family, and if I can't help them, why would I waste their time or mine? You see, it's numbers.
Yep.
It's I'm not.
And how are you going to know if you can help them if you don't sit and talk
right.
to them and
time
get
out.
The information?
Guys, time out, time out. This is the deal. I talked to Mike about this before. Tony Wally is our man on the street today. So what I would like to do is, Tony, we kind of want you to award Sammy the Bear to one of these two gentlemen. And you are like an average homeowner out there. So before you do that, I would like who would like to go first to plead their case, why they are more beneficial?
I
would. Okay. So, Larry, you go first, and then, Brian, you get the last licks. And, Tony, then you could award who you think is better for the who would cut a better deal for the homeowner in distress in today's market. Is that fair?
Sell me, gentlemen. Sell me.
All right, Larry, you're up first. Try and convince Tony why you're more beneficial than the short sale guy.
To start with, let's be realistic. Look at any of the successful real estate investors that you meet out there. I'm talking about the people who have been in the business for over 10 years. They're not the overnight flash in the pans. We're talking about people who have been in the business for years. They understand the creative financing because that's how they built what they've got. They didn't do it making lump sums of cash necessarily. You need to be able to do the lump sums of cash, but you also need to be able to create some deals for your retirement. Someday you're going to get old. Someday those properties will be paid off. You'll get to keep all the rent to live your lifestyle. So having said that, my point that I'm making is you can't solve everybody's problem. The real investors, not the beginners that think they're investors, not the people who have been in the business 2 or 3 years and they've done three deals. People who have been in the business for years, they understand that it's numbers. You chase the deals that you can work with, and the ones you can't work with, you pass them off to Brian because maybe he is their last hope. But stopping their bleeding is critical for many people today. So, you know, even dealing with elderly people, you know, many of them just want additional money each month to live on to subsidize what they're making. They don't want a lump sum of cash. Maybe they can't handle it. Maybe they don't want to pay the taxes. Maybe they don't want their kids fighting over it. Maybe they want their kids to receive monthly income for years. You see, the perfect answer is it depends. Now, Brian, give them what you got.
All right, Mr. Wiley, here's the deal. This is what we can do for you. If you want to listen to this whole spiel about getting old and how we used to do it back in the 70s and 80s, by all means, go call somebody like Mr. Ironhead over here. Okay, this is the 21st century. Your best option if you are swimming and you are sinking in the quicksand is going to be a short sale. Here's the deal. What we do is we negotiate with the bank. We get the bank to agree to sell the property. So now you get to no longer make your mortgage payments. You get to go find your new residence, begin starting your life over with no stress because you're not having to make that mortgage payment. When we go to closing, we will make sure that you don't have a deficiency. If, in fact, you do, we will help you find a tax attorney and a CPA that can make your debt go away. So now you get to start your life over. Yes, we have bought your house, but now you have moved on. You don't have any more stress, and once we have your house, you have no stress. You've moved on with your life. Everyone is happy, and we can also help the next person who comes along buy your house because they're also downsizing. In this market, in today's market, with this economy, people don't have the ability to take seller financing. They can't hold that $30,000 note or that $50,000 note for you so that you can purchase it and pay them a monthly payment. If you want to do that, you want to kick in $800 toward your old mortgage while you're still paying on your new mortgage, then yes, by all means, you need to go visit Mr. Ironhead over there.
That's good beginner logic, Brian. That was really good.
Well, let's see if Wally could sniff out the winner here. Tony, who is someone that if you were in distress, who would you rather do business with? Brian, the short sale King Whitaker, or Larry, the real deal Harbaugh?
I must be very honest with you. I am in a situation right now where I would listen to Brian and go, man, that sounds delicious. And I would say, you know what, if I'm really in distress that he's talking about, Brian is the guy I'd go to. But you know what, my mom taught me that wisdom outplays risk every time. So I think if it were me, I would have to go with the real deal.
Wow, Larry the real deal, clean house.
Nice.
Whitaker goes down in flames.
Oh, no, to the old man,
down
no less.
Asia. Larry, congratulations.
Oh, thank you very much.
We'll ship
I will not
the bear,
be able to face my...
Hey, listen,
I will not be able
I'm
to
sorry.
Face my friends. I lost to an old man in a wheelchair.
Oh, you don't have to worry,
sorry,
Brian, because you don't have any...
I'm sorry.
No, Brian doesn't have any friends, so he doesn't have to worry about facing them.
Don't worry,
Brian.
Don't worry,
you were
Brian.
Very
he's
convincing. You really were, and the short-term thing is very convincing. It's just to me, it seems like the short-term thing is shorting me of my money.
So wait a minute, Tony. You know, I got a question for Tony and actually for Mike Warren. How much money did the old man pay you guys before you got on the call? because I know there's no way he truly did better than I did. So he must have paid the both of you off.
You were very convincing. I'll give you that much. You were definitely
Brian, can
very
I ask you a question?
Yeah,
Brian,
go ahead, Larry.
Can I get a list of everyone you've made your short sale spiel to that you didn't help? And let me call them and ask them what they think of the short sale process.
Oh, that's brutal. That's you want to talk about jugular, he just went for it right there.
Wow, that was Hannibal Lecter right there. He just ate you, dude.
Well, yeah, you know what, Larry? I would get that list to you. However, nowadays we use Microsoft Word instead of handwriting things out. And you may not be able to read it when it comes to you on a Word document. So, you know, and the fact of giving it to you would be very difficult. Because, see, nowadays we communicate by email, not Pony Express.
Wow.
So I wouldn't know how to get that list to you.
And besides that, you don't keep track of the failures. Only the success.
Well, don't forget, Brian, let's not be so hard on Larry about the written thing. He's more of the stone tablet kind of guy, chisel and stone.
Right.
So that's why he puts it down. It's in writing. His word is his word, right, Larry?
That's right.
That's right.
So the whole Microsoft Excel Word thing he wouldn't understand. So
well,
I'm
going to ship Sammy the Bear to Larry. I have one thing I ask, Larry. Please don't violate the bear. We know how you have some some unique characteristics. You might be smoking a cigar, shaving your beautiful legs right now while you're on the conference call.
Oh, man, you didn't just tell me Larry has the dirty old man syndrome now.
Oh, my God.
Now you're catching on, Wiley?
He's trying to.
So,
Larry
anyway,
is the epitome of dirty old men.
I just want to thank my co-moderator, Mike, on the other coast.
Mike, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing good. Tony, how you doing, buddy?
Good, good.
Great to hear you again.
You
thanks
too.
For being on the show. Thanks for calling
no
in.
No problem. I enjoy it.
Another
hey,
great
Tony,
show
and if they ever ask me to be the man on the street, I'm going to remember you, just so you know.
Brian, you know I love you, right?
You know, that doesn't sound too good on this conference call because people are getting...
Oh, sorry, yeah, that's right. I already know
guys.
Brian, people.
that's why he voted against me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I already know Brian, sorry. Let me put that out there.
And for all of
you know,
people, we're all good friends.
Yes.
Larry, I do have to congratulate you. You did very well for an old man, and, you know, just because sympathy won out over true intelligence, I can accept that.
Well,
you know, you put up a good struggle. I'll give you that.
Well, you know what?
You put up a good struggle.
The inside joke that we all have is, like you said, Larry, we always joke because he's not an old man, like we always say, but when he's in the wheelchair, I have heard you mumble under your breath, Mr. Whitaker, call him Roller Pig, and I really don't appreciate that.
Yeah, well, you know, if the shoe fits, you know.
Oh, my God. No, you didn't, Chris. Larry, that was horrible.
What,
what
did I
say? Spider figure going to get together and go dancing.
No, but he will be sorry.
Well, the other thing
know,
I want
Larry,
people to remember.
Chris for that one.
Hey, guys, hold on. The other thing I want people to remember, because we got to close shop, it's late, people are listening, is that Millionaire Smackdown is the only forum they're going to get real content where people put it out there. And I really appreciate you both debating it. You're both honest and ethical investors. You use different approaches to how you do what you do. A lot of times we were joking around. Tony, who's a gentleman that knows both of you, knows that, and he really did call in as a someone that wants to hear what you had to say, almost
yep.
like a John Q. homeowner. So I don't think we could have done this any more perfectly, and it's very rare that you have two people debate an issue instead of trying. You guys weren't concerned about trying to make a quick buck selling some kind of course. Instead, you came on like gentlemen to debate the issue and see. And see, I guess when you debate an issue, you really see both sides of the coin. So I appreciate the fact that you did that, and I appreciate that Tony came on to hear both sides, because Mike Warren and I are both investors, so it's good to have someone with a fresh outlook on the debate. So this is one of those unique calls where people, especially a newbie getting started, this is the actual call they should listen to before they ever really get into investing in any kind of course, because
I agree.
You
totally.
Need to
I
hear
mean, from an outside perspective. I definitely
go.
Agree.
So
you guys
I thank
are
you
awesome.
Guys.
Well, and it's an honor for me to be on the call with Chris and Michael and Brian. It was great.
You didn't sound too.
You mean Tony? You didn't mean Brian. You meant Tony, right?
And Tony.
No, you meant Tony, not Brian, right?
Look, I'm the winner. I can say whoever I want, okay?
Well, just for people listening, Tony Tony, is it okay if I say he's one of my favorite black Democrats, and I think that was a racist comment that you just snubbed him there, Larry. I'm sorry, I'm just kidding. We shouldn't even open this can of whoop ass.
Hey, Tony
then
Watley.
Then we'll all go down in flames.
Tony, we'll talk later, okay?
Hey, Tony.
What's up, Brian?
Thank you for coming on the call. I do appreciate it, and I will
thank
get you back. You know that.
Much.
You know, it's
yes,
all in
I know,
good fun.
I know. We've talked to each other way too many times for me to know that this is the last time we'll speak.
Hey, listen. Tony?
Yes, sir.
Thank you for coming on the call from my perspective and being totally correct.
Thank you. I really did try to be fair about it. I really did. I was listening from
here,
a Joe Public. I really was.
Yeah.
Hey, Tony, yeah. I just had one more quick question. And you do know this isn't personal. It's just you and me being you and me. But I had one
yes.
more quick question.
Sure.
Earlier they said that you were a Democrat. Is that true?
Yes, sir.
Because that explains everything. Now I know why I lost.
Wow.
Oh.
Wow.
Hey, Mike Warren, Chris Kremitzos, thanks for inviting me.
Right,
Larry,
Mike,
you are truly one of my favorite mentors in the entire world. Thank you.
Okay,
hey, Mike,
right.
Let Mike Warren close it out, guys.
Okay, thank you.
I want to thank both of you. Larry, the real deal, thank you, sir. Appreciate you being on the call, being honest. It was awesome, man. You stuck to your point. You made your point. You influenced our Democrat of the evening. You got him to play your way. It was great. Brian, Mr. Short Sale King, you know what? You had yourself. You had him on the line. You had him there. It's like, and he just jumped off that line at the last second. You almost had him hooked. You know, but maybe he'll go to both your guys' seminars. It'll be really good. So he can probably use both of them and learn both sides of the fence, and that'd probably be the best way to go. And, Tony, you know, hey, thank you very much. You had some very awesome questions. They're really good. They're right on point. And taking it from the average Joe on the street's perspective, and you know what? That's what everybody that listens to the show, that's what they need. They need the average guy who's going to come in and look out for their best interest, not just trying to take money out of their pocket. So I want to thank
right.
you for that. And also, Chris, my co-host, man, you the roller pig, you know, I got to like that one.
Mike, one last comment. When Tony hit the nail on the head, when I heard Brian trying to charm him, it almost sounded like he was trying to feed him a couple of sugar cubes and said, vote for me. Right? Didn't you feel that way? I mean, come on. It was almost like the devil trying to cut him a deal. Like, listen, let me tell you why we're better.
he was sucking up pretty hard.
Yeah.
Well, it was a great show, guys. And why don't we end it on a real positive note like that? We're a little bit behind. This seems to be a standard pattern for us, I guess, because we get going. And you know what? This is a great topic to have, and we would love to have all of you guys back on the show again. Would you guys be up for that sometime in the future?
I'll be on any time you give me the honor to ask me.
Awesome. Well, then let's...
Well, you might have to remind him multiple times because he does have a habit of forgetting. If you'd like, I'll run by the nursing home and remind him the next time you want to have him on. But, yeah, I'd be more than happy to.
No, all I'm going to do is hit the button on my pacemaker. Just hit the button on my pacemaker. Wake me up.
Well, you know what? We could even ship you in. I guess you could fit on the bottom of the cargo hold in your coffin. I'm sorry, that was bad. You know what, Larry? You're going to come off smelling like roses, and the rest of us are going to be labeled scumbags.
Yeah, by me.
Oh, God, help us all.
All right, everybody. Hey, all thanks for joining Millionaire Smackdown, where you get the straight stuff, and we look out for the common man, and we edutain everybody in a little bit different topics every week. So we'll talk to y'all next time. Bye, everybody.
Good night, everybody. Bye.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
What?
Good night.